Finally. It's the news, according to me. Oh, good morning. It is Tuesday morning, not Monday morning, because there was no show on Monday morning. If you're looking for the show on Monday morning, there was none. This is the last show of the month, January 30th, 10:04 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, 2023. The last show on the last day of the first day of the month. And it's a Tuesday. And here I am with my cup. I'm back from my trip. I ended up going to Allentown, Pennsylvania. And it was a, on Sunday, I went to Allentown. And getting back home was a very interesting ordeal. I ended up spending a lot of time. I had to come back through Chicago. I actually drove to Chicago to catch the flight. So when I got back to Chicago, I finally got on the transport that took me out to where my car was, and then got in the car, took off, and my GPS was telling me, "Hey, go this way." I was like, "I don't want to go that way. I always go this way. I'm going to go this other way." Well, it wasn't telling me. All it said was there's this little bitty yellow strip that was about 100 feet long on the road there that looked like it was a slowdown. And I was like, well, it doesn't look like there's anything there. It's for some reason it thinks I want to go a different way, or maybe it thinks it's a faster way. It didn't tell me why it wanted me to go this other way. It kept telling me to pull off on this one road. And I'm like, that's a side road. I'm not taking that side road. What is wrong with this thing? Well, I didn't have all the information, but I should have just done it. I should have just gotten off that road around the bypass or 294 or whatever it is. Because what happened was, as soon as I went past that off-ramp, the traffic came to a stop. And it said, for the next 40 minutes, you'll be sitting in your car, wishing you had taken this off-ramp. So needless to say, apparently there had been a very bad accident. Actually, they still hadn't cleaned it up. By the time I got past it, it was over an hour before I got past the accident, which wasn't that far ahead of me, but it was very slow going. Because some construction agency decided they were going to have a 5-lane highway or 6-lane highway, whatever it was, taken down to 3 lanes with some cement blockade stuff. And apparently somebody didn't notice it and came up on it or couldn't get over or whatever happened to them there. Their car apparently obviously went airborne because they were on the other side of some of this cement curbing that they had put up on its side. And it was bashed in on just about every side. So I'm assuming the thing tumbled a few times. And it looked like they had to cut the thing open to get somebody extracted out of it. So I'm not sure what all happened there, but it was not good. Once we got past that, I got past that accident, the traffic opened right up and I could fly again. But it slowed traffic down for quite a while. So it took me a little while to get home, needless to say. And by the time, of course, I'd gotten up yesterday morning about 4 o'clock in the morning to start my day. So by the time I got home, I was just wiped out. It was a very, very long day. It's not the job I don't like. It's the traveling part of it. Actually, it's just the being gone from home. That's the part that's getting harder and harder every day. But I'm starting a new commitment for another couple of years with another company. This coming up this Friday. Actually, this Monday. A week from yesterday. This coming Monday. So we'll see how that goes. I've got a couple of years. I've got to go through some onboarding process and all that kind of stuff. I'll be down in Dallas for a while. Just put it that way. For a few months, a couple months, month, whatever. Back and forth, of course, but I'll be working out of Dallas for a while. So hopefully this will all go well and see how this all works out. A couple things I want to talk about. One is what's in my cup. I've got this little cup, my little plastic cup. I've got some sweet tea here, but it's actually just sweet tea from Culver's. On my home from Chicago, I stopped into Culver's last night. I was just starving. I hadn't had anything since breakfast. Starving, yeah. I was famished a little bit. And so I got myself a sandwich and some sweet tea. And I had some leftovers, of course. And so I also have a backup cup here with some water in it. which I've been sipping on. Which is probably better for me. Now, just to be clear, I'm currently in the home studio right now. My home studio, not the worldwide headquarters. I'll be in the headquarters later today. I actually do have a lot of things. Tomorrow's show possibly will be in the headquarters. If there's some work I have to do at the shop, and I actually have to work on a car because I'm considering finishing up some routine maintenance, just some regular scheduled maintenance on a car that I have. It's a spare car. I'm thinking about driving it down to Dallas, actually. If I get that done today, I may actually leave tomorrow and get on the road and get that thing down there. And then what I will end up doing is then flying back and then going back on Sunday to actually be down there. Then I'll have my car down there. So that's the plan at this point. We'll see how this all works out. But that's the initial plan. Now, in the meantime, some things to talk about. Get all this other stuff out of the way. There's so much on my plate. I didn't write any notes down. I probably should have because there's so many things I want to talk about. But I do have this audio clip I want to play. And that's going to be the bulk of what we do today. There's so many things happening with regard to media. And I'm noticing some things right now. There's a trend happening. Again, big tech is pushing some things, and I don't like it. I don't know if anybody else is noticing this or not. I think it's happening. I'm sure it's happening system-wide. There's a whole lot of things going on with this. But in reality, here's what's happening. I spend a lot of time on YouTube. I download a lot of videos. When I'm traveling, a lot of times on the plane, I'll listen to news clips and different things. I just a smattering of things, whether it's somebody like Matt's Off-Road Recovery, which is all about, overlanding and off-roading and trail riding and four-wheelers, in cars and Jeeps and that kind of stuff. Because I have a Jeep, so it's one of those things that's kind of a hobby. And so I'm always watching shows about that, and I'm watching shows about, just different stuff I want to learn about. If I'm going to be working on the car, I'll look at, I'll go watch a couple videos on how to change a serpentine belt on a Volvo or something like that. Just to kind of brush up on, what I need to do, what I'm getting myself into. Just different things like that. I'll just pick up whatever. One of my hobbies is sewing. I like to sew. I got an industrial sewing machine. I like to sew stuff, canvas covers and stuff for the boat. But I did some new canvas work for the boat last year. Prototyping mostly this year. So it's stuff like that. Just anything like that. RVing, camping, whatever. Stuff related to work, stuff not related to work, just stuff that's, interesting documentaries, fascinating tragedies, just documentaries about things that have gone wrong. I don't know, it's just anything that interests me. And then there's the whole news side of things. So I spent a lot of time kind of delving into these kinds of things. I download a lot of videos because the nice thing about it is it's not like when I'm trying to read something. I'm trying to read something and I fall asleep. I don't remember what I read and I have to reread it. With a video, I can kind of play it and just fall asleep and I don't really care whether I missed it or not. And sometimes I want to go back and watch it, but sometimes I'll just put on a boring documentary about something that's kind of interesting, but not. If it doesn't keep my attention, I fall asleep and good for me, I'm sleeping. Either one is, somewhat valuable, but it's just kind of maybe I'll learn something, maybe I won't, but it's, maybe I'll sleep. I'll either sleep or learn, one of the two, which was not, neither one is a bad thing. The thing about this, with the news cycle right now, the thing I'm noticing right now, especially with YouTube, is when I post, or when I search for or look at say I look at something that's put out by Fox News or by Newsmax or One American News Network. The tendency is right below it. The very first suggested video is from MSNBC or CNN, typically MSNBC. And about 75 to 85% of the videos below there are all MSNBC on that particular subject. They're not Fox News, typically. Sometimes they are. Sometimes there's more than that, but very rarely. Usually it's MSNBC. I rarely click on MSNBC. Now, I am subscribed to MSNBC. I'm also subscribed to a couple of channels there, and I'm also subscribed to CNN as well. I am not. I have never rang the bell for them. I don't get notifications when I see an or MSNBC. I just subscribe. The reason I subscribe is because I want to know what they're talking about. I want to see what their headlines are. I want to see them. I want to see it go through my news feed so I can watch what's happening with their headlines and what kind of wacky stories they're talking about. So that's what I do. I check out the news stories and I check out the headlines, and it's kind of gives me an idea of what they're saying. And I don't have to listen to all of it. If I see their stupid quacky headlines, I know what they're talking about. And if I see who it is that's actually got what show that's on, I know even better what they're going to say. Because most of what they're going to talk about revolves around Trump derangement syndrome and the issues that they've got with Trump. It's just that they react to everything, not respond. They react to everything. And they're still going after Trump in the middle of a scandal that's happening with Joe Biden right now that they're uncovering. And it is a scandal. And I'm pretty sure they're trying to minimize damage. It's a damage control situation right now. They'd like to see Joe leave, but at the same time, they don't want to see any damage happen. It's kind of like we'd like to extract the tumor, but we don't want to damage anything around it. That's their mentality right now. And I get it. I understand it. The problem I have with it's hypocrisy on their part to pretend like they are somehow not biased. That's the thing that gets me more than it. Just come out and say it. Just come out and admit the fact you're a left-wing DNC organization, or Democrat National Committee organization. You're in the tank for the collectivists, for the socialist, if you want to call them that, but they're collectivists, and they're actually fascists. They won't come out and say that. There's a little channel called Liberal Hive Mind. Liberal Hive Mind. And his main job, he says it right at the very beginning, is exposing the abundant hypocrisy on the left. And I think nothing aggravates me more than blatant hypocrisy that people will not admit to, will not acknowledge. It's one thing. We're all of us have a tendency to be hypocrites in one way or another. It's when it's pointed out, because we all have blind spots. We all don't realize some of the things we say about others sometimes, or about a situation. We don't realize we would do the same thing in the same situation, or we're doing the same thing. We don't realize we're doing the same thing in principle. People have a tendency to tip over to the self-righteous mentality. That's just the way we are. We like to think that the way we're living is the right way to live. And it's a lack of self-awareness, or the ability to be self-critical. And I get that. I understand. It's actually, you can drive yourself into the dirt. You don't want to be, extremely hard on yourself. You have to have some balance in even looking at yourself. But you have to be aware of your own weaknesses and failures and flaws. You just have a realistic understanding of that, or you will not have a healthy life. You'll get through life, probably, just, but you won't have any empathy for anybody else around you. You'll just be, it's just all kinds of issues there that'll crop up in your life. Now, having said all that from my snooty chair here, like I'm somehow going to, I don't know, whatever. Here I am telling you, it's the hypocrisy. The blatant hypocrisy and the abundant hypocrisy and the lack of awareness that they're even hypocrites in the middle of it all. And therein lies where I'm at going at with this whole thing this morning. But I'm really going to hit on the big topic of the day. Recently, Chuck Todd has been in the news recently. And I think he's on MSNBC, I believe, or maybe he's on CNN. So maybe CNN, I don't know. Oh, one of the two. It doesn't matter. They run together. And the thing that gets me is that, you know, he has this, I think he said maybe a Sunday morning show or whatever he does. And he was interviewing Jim Jordan. Now, to look at the headlines on the MSNBC website, it looks as if Chuck Todd destroys Jim Jordan in interview. It keeps on going with all these headlines. It takes him to task. It does all, you know, all these words that they use to describe. And we're going to listen to one, just part of the interview. And then there's also a couple other clips of Chuck Todd interviewing Ron Johnson and some other people. Ron Johnson's a representative from, or I guess senator from Wisconsin. Jim Jordan is a House representative from Ohio. And just the fervency and the vigor, the passion that Chuck Todd has to go after these guys. Have you ever in your life heard him question anybody on the left with such fervent passion? And they make it sound like, oh, he's really calling these guys out. Well, that'd be great. I don't mind that. I appreciate that kind of calling out like that. Let's see you do it on the left. And then he has the audacity to make it sound like they're the ones who are the hypocrites. Jim Jordan's the one who's the hypocrite because he only goes after Biden. He doesn't go after Trump. Have you said a negative thing at all about the Hunter Biden issue at all, Chuck? And you're in the media. You're supposed to have objectivity, not political bias. A politician, I expect political bias, especially one from either side of the aisle. We don't elect them to be centrists. We elect them to align with what I believe is important in the party. That's why we elect them. And by the way, Chuck, you're not elected. So, I would like to play this particular clip. And there's different parts. Now, the first part of this, I wish I could get, I was able at one point to get a hold of and get access to, because I'm not sure exactly how to do this with Robert Gavea. He's a lawyer. He's a defense attorney out of Arizona. He has these things called mind maps, and he puts them together. It's actually a website that you can put together your own web mind map anytime, and it's available to the public. It's free. And you can put this mind map thing together. It's kind of a neat little website. And what he does is he puts all these clips in this thing, and he connects everything together, and it's all organized very well. The nice part about it is you can get in there, and during the after the election of 2020, he had put all this stuff together with the J6 Commission. And you could go in, and you could play the clips, and you could read the articles, and you could do all this stuff. Had it all compiled in one place. And it was really nice because for show prep, it was awesome because I could just go onto this mind map thing and just look at the videos and click on the ones I wanted to click on and play them. And there was no commentary, no nothing else. It was just the clip that I wanted, just the part that I wanted from the particular interview or whatever was happening. So I ended up recording from YouTube. I can't get his mind map stuff anymore, but he was playing. So you're going to hear a couple of comments from him in the background. I don't know if you'll notice it or not, but he makes some comments as the interview is going on, and hopefully that won't be too distracting. But that's where I'm gleaning this stuff. Now, this stuff was all either on MSNBC or CNN, or I'm sorry, C-SPAN. Some of it was taken off of C-SPAN. The first part of this is something that has nothing to do with Chuck Todd or MSNBC, by the way. The first thing I want to get into is the FBI, Christopher Wray, and his interview that he had with Senator Kennedy, who's the senator front. He's the not JFK, not the other Kennedys, not the others. He's the guy who's got a Southern drawl, a real quick whip about him. He's quick wit about him. He has all these little Southern sayings, different stuff, and he's always got some kind of really smart remark to make about something. And he's interviewing Christopher Wray here. This is in real time. I edited out a few areas where there was some commentary, but the video plays in real time. And So even though there's some silence in some areas, it's somebody else talking. However, this is real response time. And we're going to go through this and listen to it. I'm going to make some commentary here. I'm going to set it up a little bit. He's interviewing Christopher Wray about Tim. I guess he pronounced his name Tebow. And this isn't the same Tim Tebow from the football guy. This is an FBI agent. There is some things about the way Christopher Wray answers these questions. Now, I wish I had the clip. I was going to try to find the clip of Mike Pence responding to the interview guy that was interviewing him after the whole document issue with Trump. And the response, in fact, I really should probably pull it up because it really speaks for itself. Maybe I can find it here. While we're playing some of this, I might try to find it. Let's look at interview docs. Let's see what we can find here. I know exactly which one it is. Oh, it's just this one right here. Full Pence possessing classified. That's an hour long. I only need the 30 seconds that he makes it. Oh, here it is. It's minute 45 seconds. This is probably the one. This has got to be it. I might have to play a little bit more, but it's about a minute. This whole thing's about a minute, almost 2 minutes long. And what I'll do is I will play this, try to just play the part. I'll try to find it for you. Might be able to scrub it. And we'll see what we can find here. In fact, I'll just pull it up. I'm not going to
classify documents.
I'll just wait for that because it's the part of the interview. I'll find it here. It's got to be, I'll be able to scrub through this a little bit. Because hearing him say it is really what's important here. Maybe they're not going to actually play this. Oh, here it is. It's right here. All right. Yeah, this is where he asks him the question. All right. But in the meantime, let's go back over here to Christopher Wray with this interview with Kennedy. And we're going to play this, and hopefully you can understand this whole vocal thing. Getting back into the way people respond and the way they say things and what that says about them. Now, if you can look at the look on his face, it's even more priceless in this one particular point where he asks the question. Notice the careful way that he says things. And he says, I got to be careful because it's an ongoing investigation. Whatever. They're always saying, well, it's an ongoing investigation or it's an ongoing internal personnel issue. That's the other one that they always pull on me. It's just that they like to pull that out. Well, I can't respond. Well, I don't know. I don't remember. I don't know if I know that or not. That's one of the things he says in here, which is absolutely ridiculous. Let's just play it, and I'll give you my commentary as we go. So as I'm playing this in slow time. I'm not playing this in 1.25 or anything. I'm playing this in one speed, regular speed, not sped up, not slowed down. So here we go. Let's listen to what he has to say. Let's see if I can. I didn't want to do that. Let's see. Get rid of that. Here, let's just play it. Here we go.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Director, who is Timothy Tebow?
Mr. Tebow was...
Was.
For some period of time until relatively recently, what's called an ASAC. In our Washington field office.
Now, notice the way he says it. He was an ASAC in our Washington field office. And he sits back like, there you go. I've answered the question. Look at there. I gave you a whole answer to a question. I actually answered that. What's an ASAC? We're supposed to, he likes to say things like this. Now, this is the kind of, this is arrogance is what it is. I know that in the past, I learned this early on as a flight instructor back in the 90s. It's very easy to talk over someone with what we call pilotage. Pilotese. As if we were speaking a pilot language. Because there is all these other terms that you use. Every profession typically has something like this. Nursing, doctor, whatever it is, medical field, plumbing, whatever you get into, engineering, they have terms that they use that are specific to their industry. And when they're together, when one pilot talks to another one, and you can say, hey, the VOR was said, you know, the radio was this and that, blah, 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 blah. And, we use these synonyms all the time. We use all kinds of things that the common person out there who has no exposure to this would not understand whatsoever. And you have to be very careful when you're talking to someone in the public, in the general public, to make sure you communicate without using pilot language or without using medical language or plumber language or financial, you know, fiduciary language, whatever it is. By the way, I'm not a doctor or a lawyer. I'm not a life coach or financial counselor. I'm not an epidemiologist or a surgeon. So there you go. That's my disclaimer for that whole thing. So when you're in these professions and you're speaking, you know, over someone's head, like contraindication, there's no contraindication of that. What are you talking about? It's a medical term. You know, when I talk about the flight level, it's just different terms that we use, just things in certain professions. Well, that's what he's doing here. ASAC. Oh, just throw that term out there. Like, we're all supposed to know what that is. And if you don't know what it is, you're stupid. That's what he's really saying here. In fact, you can almost tell it in the tone of his voice when he explains it to Kennedy. Now, Kennedy knows. Because all of a sudden, Kennedy comes back with the answer of what he says what it is. What this ASAC thing is. What does that mean? What's that? What kind of designation is that? He comes back with that answer. But Kennedy knows the general public out there doesn't understand this, but Ray isn't talking to the general public. He's talking down to the general public. He doesn't want to be accountable to the general public, even though that's who he works for. So here you are. This is Kennedy's response.
He was the assistant special agent in charge.
That's what ASAC stands for. There's a whole number of them in the Washington field office. The structure is there's at the head of the office, and then there's SACs, and then the next level down, there's the level that he was at.
And he has or had been with the FBI about 25 years.
So he's asking him, had he been with the FBI for 25 years? Now, Kennedy knows this. Somehow Ray doesn't know this. But now, look at the way he answers the question. This is how he says it.
Right.
Well, now you're testing my knowledge.
Now you're testing my knowledge a little bit. I don't know if it was 25 years. It might have been 26 or 24. He doesn't say that. He always says, "Oh, now you're testing my knowledge a little bit." Now, there are certain questions that you and I would answer, "Yeah, about that," or somewhere around there. Yeah. I can't say it was exactly 25 years, but some, you know, give or take a few years. That sounds about right. Now, if you're just going to answer honestly, that's what you would do. You wouldn't say, you're testing my knowledge. No, not really. I'm just asking you to give me an estimate of how long he's been there. That's the spirit of the question. But you avoided it by saying, you're testing my knowledge. And kind of making light of it, like, we're just good old boys talking. You're testing my knowledge a little bit. But it's a yes or no question, really. Or yes, no, or I don't know. There's three answers possible to this. But that's not an answer. What he gave you was not an answer.
But
Okay. He was a powerful guy. Is that
correct? So here he asks this question. He was a powerful guy. Is that correct? So let's listen to this again.
He was a powerful guy. Is that correct?
I'm sorry?
He was a powerful guy. Is that correct?
Well, I don't know that I would use that description.
Okay.
He was a powerful guy. Is that correct? I'm sorry? I don't know that I would use that description. Okay. You wouldn't use that description. But listen to what he says here as he goes on to answer the next question. So he really... He contradicts himself here. Listen carefully to what he says.
He had no power.
I think every law enforcement agent in the FBI with the responsibilities they're entrusted with has significant power.
So why didn't he just say, he had significant power? He was a powerful guy. Oh, I wouldn't describe him that way. He was in law enforcement, and you would describe every law enforcement officer as having significant power. But you didn't think Tim Tebow had significant power. You would have just said he had significant power because all FBI agents have significant power. Oh, I wouldn't describe him as that. You see how he just looped around to his own answer and shot himself in the foot. This is not consistent with someone who's being straight up and transparent. These are the kind of answers you get when someone's trying to legally tap dance around issues and not give you straight answers. We're the American people. You work for us. You answer to us. This representative represents us, and you better shoot straight with him, and you better be transparent with him, because that's your job. This is the reason, these kinds of answers are the reason people do not trust you, sir. Let's go on with this interview.
Did he work on the President Trump-Russia
This is in real time.
Collusion investigation?
Dumbfounded look.
I'm not sure I know the answer to that. Not that I'm aware of, but I can't say that with certainty. Okay.
When was the last time someone asked you a question and you said, I don't know if I know the answer to that?
I'm not sure I know the answer to that.
I'm not sure I know the answer to that. I'm not sure I know the answer to that. I get asked a lot of questions in the kind of work I do. When was the last time you responded with an answer to a question that was asked of you, or even your child answered the question that you asked of them, or you answered a child in this? I'm not sure if I know the answer to that. Well, maybe you should find out if you know the answer to that or not. How would you find out? What steps would you take to find out if you know the answer to that? Well, I would just think about it for a second, and I would know one way or the other whether I have recall of that or not. I don't know if I know that or not. I don't know if I know anything about that. Huh? Well, why don't you think about it for a second? Maybe it'll pop up in your brain. That's how your brain works. This is the kind of ridiculous thing. The kind of ridiculous answer you get from someone who is trying to hide something, is trying to skate around the answer. These are yes or no questions. Yes, no, or I don't know. You couldn't be more clear. They're not complicated. They're not tricky. Just answer a stinking question. But I digress. We'll move on here. From this question, he goes on from there.
Not that I'm aware of, but I can't say that with certainty. Okay.
Now, the last part of his answer would have made more sense. Not that I'm aware of. Did he work on the Trump-Russia collusion thing? Not that I'm aware of, but I can't answer that for sure. I'm not sure. I'm not positive. That would have been a normal answer. The first part of his answer was stalling until he came up with the legal lawyer answer he was supposed to say. That made a little more sense. That would have been a little more natural and normal. But he goes on.
Complicated question.
Did he or does he work on the FBI investigation of Mr. Hunter Biden?
So this is a very important question. This is a key point in this interview, in my opinion. Listen to the way he asks the question and then listen to the answer. This is a yes or no question, by the way.
On the FBI investigation of Mr. Hunter Biden?
So the investigation that you're referring to, and I have to be a little bit careful because we're talking about an ongoing investigation, is being run out of our Baltimore field office, working with the Delaware U.S. attorney, who's a holdover from the prior administration.
Complicated question.
Let's
ask this again.
Complicated question.
Did he or does he work on the FBI investigation of Mr. Hunter Biden?
Did he or does he work on the Hunter Biden investigation? Did he or does he? He doesn't say he no longer works. See, these guys have ways of saying, well, that person's no longer on staff. So they're no longer, you can't ask them any, I can't ask any, answer any questions about them because they're no longer on staff. Because what happens is they become a contract agent. That's what's happening. I don't know if that's happened in this case, but that's what happens a lot. They'll start their own little side business and all of a sudden set up shop. Or they'll go to work for some other company and still be on the dole, if you will, working as an informant. They can hide all kinds of paychecks that way. And this is what might be happening in this case. I'm not saying it is, but he's not answering the question. Listen to his answer very carefully again.
So the investigation that you're referring to, and I have to be a little bit careful because we're talking about an ongoing investigation, is being run out of our Baltimore field office, working with the Delaware U.S. attorney who's a holdover from the prior administration.
Oh, okay. So the investigation you're talking about was out of the Baltimore office. Well, the investigation you're talking about is out of the Baltimore office. Did he work for, does he or did he work for in the investigation of Hunter Biden laptop? Oh, well, that investigation is being held out of the Baltimore office. Okay. That doesn't answer the question. Well, when we went to the moon, you know, we landed on the moon and then Buzz Aldrin got off the, you know, it was, you know, Neil Armstrong, when he, you know, made his first step there, that's when he stepped on the moon. And yeah. Oh, okay. That answers that question. The subject of his answer was not an answer to the question. What is this guy thinking? I don't understand how you would go from that point. Very simple, yes or no. Did he or does he? Does he or did he? Do a little diddy. Or a little doo-doo. So, but we have all this stuff going on that he's not answering the questions to. So let's listen to this again. Here he goes.
So I'm confused, Chris, with your answer. Did he work or does he work on the Hunter Biden investigation?
Come on, Chris. Come on.
As I said, the Hunter Biden investigation is being run out of the Baltimore field office.
Again, he doesn't just say yes or no. Why? He doesn't say, well, that's being run out of the Baltimore office, which is he was never a part of and he's not a part of now. That's not what he says. In fact, when he gets done here, listen to the long pause. Okay, I just ended it. I'm gonna back up a little bit here so you can hear just the end of his answer. This is in real time. You can see the lack of understanding here that's going on. It's going to be a lot of dead airspace here, but I'm going to just the dumbfoundedness that we have here at this point.
The Baltimore field office.
Uh-huh.
Isn't it true that...
So he just moves on to the next question.
In September of 2020...
This is an interesting question.
Special Agent Tebow went on social media and liked a Washington Post article entitled, quote, William Barr has gone rogue.
Now, this, when he asked him this question, I thought, this seems kind of petty. Until you think about why he asked this question. If Christopher Wray doesn't know the details about Tim Tebow, but he does know the details about things that he's liked on social media. Well, it gives you the impression that maybe he knows a little bit more about this guy than what he's alluding to. Now, keep in mind, he worked out of the Baltimore office. Or that investigation was at the Baltimore office. So we can't, you know, that's all I'm going to tell you. Did he ever work on that investigation? Well, that investigation is being carried out in the Baltimore office. Okay. Is that where he works out of now? Well, you know, that investigation's over there. It's over there. Oh, so you don't know who's working over there? Well, let's listen to his answer to this question. Did he like this snide comment about Bill Barr?
I have seen descriptions to that effect. I have to be a little bit careful about how far we can go.
Oh, yeah, because, of course, this is, this is
ongoing personal matter.
Yeah, that's Robert Gavet in the back.
Isn't it true that also in September of 2020, Special Agent Tebow went on social media and posted a Washington Post article entitled, quote, "Why the Michael Flynn Case Still Matters."
A similar answer to the
Similar answer to the other one. Similar to the same thing you just said. I can't really comment on it. And, of course, I kind of heard about it, but I don't know anything about it. I'm just the director of the FBI. I don't really know what's going on there. You'll have to ask the janitor what's really happening there. I'm just the director. Because there's all kinds of levels. You know, you got the AP people, and then you got the PLC people, and then you have the 99 core ply people, and then you got whatever else it is that's going to go on there. Now let's just think about how he's answering these pretty straightforward questions. Some of them very simple, some of them very benign. But you can gather a lot of information about the way he answers these questions in terms of the response and everything that's happening there. And if you could see the look on his face a couple times, he's deer in the headlights on some of them. And you know he knows the answer. He's trying to figure out a response. Maybe he's listening to something in his ear. He might have a lawyer in his ear. I don't know what's going on there. But it's very troubling, to say the least, when I hear people respond this way. It bothers me. Because these people are supposed to be accountable to the American people, and they're not being accountable. They are being secretive, manipulative. Yeah. Let's go now to the issues with the Chuck Todd interviews. Let's take a look at this. And I want to bring up a point about Chuck Todd and everything that's happening here, because this is kind of interesting. Let's just listen to the first part. I believe this is Jim Jordan and Tuck Todd. Yeah, Tuck Todd. That'd be interesting. Let's listen to his response or his
This raid on Donald Trump. The amount of time, there was 9 months between the initial action that the archives made for a request of documents before they even turned it over to the Justice Department. The subpoena was issued 60 days before they actually executed the subpoena. And more importantly, the only time the public found out about it is because Donald Trump told the public about it. This was not some sort of, you paint it as a picture of the FBI did this, this, and this within hours of each other, when it was actually a year and a half of Donald Trump not complying with any of the requests from National Archives.
First of all, let me just point out, I hate to interrupt this whole thing because I like to play this stuff in real time. Notice the amount of time that Chuck spends talking and the amount of time he gives the guest for the answer. This is worse than Hannity, in my opinion. But he's going after Jordan on this, and he says a lot of things that are inflammatory, in my opinion. He puts words in Jordan's mouth. He sets up the whole scene from his perspective. This is not objective reporting, objective journalism at all. This is a subjective attack coming from Trump derangements. You can hear it in his voice. Here, let's keep on going.
A year and a half. This is not some sort of proof that somehow that they've weaponized and playing politics over here.
They raided Trump's home. They haven't raided Biden's home.
Because Biden didn't defy a subpoena, Congressman.
To compare this to what Biden did and what he's still doing over months of time here. November, December, January. And this, of course, this brings up even more questions. We'll get into the whole document thing here in just a minute, but this brings up more questions. But let's continue on this. He he's trying to compare this to the two being the same, or like, oh, that what Biden did was nothing compared to what Trump did. Trump was a monster. Trump, you're the one who lit this on fire. Blah, 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 blah. Let's see what happens here.
He defied a subpoena. By the way, he had 60 days to comply with the subpoena before they actually executed.
He gave Jordan 2 seconds to respond.
With Secret Service protecting him, President Biden had documents in his garage and in a think tank that was funded by the Chinese. I think there's a difference. President Trump was the only guy who was actually president.
You talk about that. You're worried about the Chinese and Hunter Biden.
No, I'm just saying.
This is rich. This is as rich can be. You're worried about the Chinese and Hunter Biden. You're worried about it. No, I'm not worried about it. You're worried about it. No, we're all worried about it. We should be. Everybody should be worried about it. I'd be concerned as well if Trump was involved with the Chinese. But you know what? To even suggest that seems absolutely asinine. But we'll get to this. We'll get to this in just a minute. Let's here you go again.
You talk about that. You're worried about the Chinese and Hunter Biden.
No, I'm just saying.
Are you worried
a difference.
About the Chinese and Donald Trump?
They took pictures.
Are you at all worried about that?
No.
See, he's not even listening to him. He's not even giving him an opportunity to respond. He's just continuing to talk over the top of him. Are you at all worried about that?
I'm not. But they took pictures of the documents that Trump.
And there's a reason why
no
he's not.
Pictures of documents. In fact, it's not just me who would like to know what went on.
So let's get back to this whole Chinese thing here for just a second. Are you not at all worried about that? No, I'm not. I wish we had a moment. I wish we had an hour to talk about why we're not worried about that. But this is rich to accuse Trump of doing deals under the table with China, of all places. This is how ridiculous. Now, they didn't even stick to their narrative of Russia being the problem. Aren't you worried about how he's responding to Russia? That would at least go along with their narrative that we all know is bogus anyway. It has never happened either. But they were, you know, at least we're going down the same tube, at least. All of a sudden, they're worried about Trump and China. Are you freaking kidding me? Do you have any clue what just happened with the pandemic? With COVID? Do you really think? Now here, I know I'm talking out of my tinfoil hat here. Do you think maybe, let's just put together a scenario, a synopsis, if you will, maybe a hypothesis. Let's just put this together in a way that it might have happened. This is just a theory, that it might have happened this way. Trump is putting the clamps down on China. He's getting them under control. He's controlling trade with China. He's backing them up from this trade deficit we have, this whole, all the stuff that was going on with them running running over our intellectual property, buying up land here in the U.S., going after them and their ability to do what they're doing. And all of a sudden, an election's coming up. And just prior to that election kicking off, there is of course, we're in a steaming economy. Everybody is doing better. Well, and then guess what? A pandemic breaks out on the earth. And we have to shut the economy down. We have to shut everything down. Trump didn't want to. He's being told by those around him. He realizes he's not an epidemiologist. He's not a virologist. Got this guy named Anthony Fauci, who is science, who's also a radical left-wing liberal who doesn't like Trump at all. That's become very clear since Trump has left office and what and things he's saying about him now. So, guess what? Of course, then, if you're, put yourself in the Chinese shoes right now, for back then, in 2019, we got to get this guy out of office. The Chinese did not want Trump in office. They don't want to do deals with Donald Trump. Donald Trump does not want to do deals with the Chinese. he ends up finding himself in the midst of a worldwide outbreak that is decimating the economy. We shut down all kinds of industry, all kinds of jobs, which now, of course, are finally kind of, when they reopen these jobs now, the new administration is taking credit for all these jobs they're creating. No, no, we haven't even gotten back to the same number of jobs we had before prior to COVID. So don't give me that. You haven't created anything yet. There's still a deficit. So just go away with those kinds of statements. Well, earnings are up. Joe Biden, just on a side note, Joe Biden came out the other day and said, oh, people are making more money, earnings are up. No, they're not. They're down 2%. How do you just make this stuff up out of thin air? The actual bureau, the Federal Bureau of whatever it is, announced that earnings are down 2.2% or something like that. General wages are down. And you come out and say earnings are up. What are your earnings? You're making more money with your documents? How are you that out of touch? So he just comes out and lies. I'm not sure what I was talking about before now. I'll have to go back and listen to myself later, figure out what I was saying. But this whole thing, you've got China that is all of a sudden they're finding, well, we need an inside man, somebody inside of the White House, inside the administration. Who do we have in there? Oh, guess what? Anthony Fauci, who has been to the Wuhan lab, who is invested in the Wuhan lab, who leads an organization for the U.S. that's involved heavily and invested heavily in gain-of-function research, no matter how he defines it, you know it is.
Well, we're working. It's not gain-of-function. We redefined what gain-of-function is, Mr. Senator.
Rand Paul filleted him in front of Congress. Guy should be in jail. So he turns out, we have this guy on the inside that comes back and suggests that we have to shut everything down. 2 weeks to flatten the curve.
Well, you shouldn't have to wear a mask. Well, yeah, you might want to wear a mask. Yeah, you should probably wear two. Yeah, we're going to have to get boosters all the time now. You have to get your booster. We got to get 4 or 5 boosters because you have shots every year. Maybe a couple boosters in between.
Yeah, let's not even talk about that right now. That's going to get me really riled up. So we have this situation where all of a sudden somebody within the group here all of a sudden is making all kinds of money, who has ties to organizations and companies that are making all kinds of money on this whole thing. But there's, no conflict of interest there. You talk about, speaking of conflict of interest, look at Dianne Feinstein's husband, what she's doing, what he's doing. He's a realtor. Oh, he just happens to be a realtor? Yeah. Guess what he's selling? Guess what he got? One realtor got the contract to sell all of the old post offices. He stands to make almost $1 billion. And guess who that realtor is? Dianne Feinstein's husband. Well, you know how they got away with it? They filed their taxes separately. So he's still obviously, there's no connection there. There's no conflict of interest there. Oh, how convenient. Nancy Pelosi's husband just happens to sell off Google before they make these crackdowns or whatever. I don't know how I found out about that. Maybe I said something when I was drunk. I don't know. Maybe when he got hit in the head with a hammer, unfortunately, tragically. And we'll talk about that in just a minute. Maybe he somehow, got some kind of flash of what was going to happen with Google. These people are pathetic. And of course, then they push back against Congress people being banned from trading stocks. So really, Chuck, you really think that Donald Trump and the Chinese are in bed together? You really think that? Who's the one guy who's made more money off of China than anybody else. Yeah. These people are pathetic in that respect. Let's go on with this interview, and we're going to talk a little bit about what happened with the video that's been released on, about Paul Pelosi. We'll go on with that.
They took pictures of the documents at Trump's house. They took no pictures of documents. In fact, it's not just me who would like to know what went on here. Senator Warner said it last week. He would like to get a briefing. He wants to see the documents. No, and guess what? The FBI is saying no, because they took pictures in Trump's home.
The issue is not whether Joe Biden did.
The issue is equal treatment under the law. That's the issue.
Oh, the issue isn't what Joe Biden did. The issue is, why is it you're upset? Why? The problem is you. Why are you upset about what Biden did, but you're not upset about what Trump did? So he's trying to call him out and make him be the hypocrite here. No, Chuck, you're not getting away with this.
You do not seem to ever see the same conspiratorial problems when it's a Republican.
No, Chuck, that's not the problem. That is not at all the problem. He might as well be looking at himself in the mirror when he says that. We'll go on.
You made an allegation that there was widespread fraud.
This is Ron Johnson.
You have failed to offer specific evidence of that widespread fraud, but you're demanding an investigation on the grounds that there are allegations of widespread fraud. So essentially, you're the arsonist here. President Trump is the arsonist here. You've started
again.
This
he's not letting
fire,
Johnson talk at all.
And now you're saying, "Whoa, look at this! Oh my God! All these people believe what we told them because you didn't have the guts to tell the truth that this election was fair."
And what he was talking about there was the election, the 2020 election, saying that, "Oh, you're the arsonist. You're the one that's come out and inflamed people. You're the one who started the January 6th insurrection because you were feeding the fire." You're the arsonist. Really? All right, whatever. Now, let's listen. I think this is going to be the interview that happened between Mike Pence and this whole question of... I want you to listen to Pence's response very carefully here. If this was your child responding to a question that you flat out asked him, and he said it's just a yes or no question, listen to the way he answers this question. Now, I don't dislike Pence, but I do not trust Pence. And here we go.
Let's, months before all of this came to light, he told our David.
Let's see what it has to say here. Any classified? See.
Let me ask you: as we sit here in your home office in Indiana, did you take any classified documents with you from the White House?
I did not.
The DOJ is.
I did not. He's not going to play any more of it. Apparently not going to say anything more. There's just that little clip. He looks away from him, looks down to the right. I did not. Really? That's the way you're going to answer that question. I did not. And he goes on to answer the question. There's more to it. They didn't play it. I wish they would have played the whole thing. Because there's actually more to that, what he says. And his response is pathetic. Now, this gets into the whole thing of the skiff and all that stuff, and we'll talk about that. The show's gone on quite a while here. I realize it's almost we're pushing up against an hour. I do want to talk about the Pelosi video that's been released. There's been a lot of pundits on the right that have just made they've made all kinds of comments and innuendos and saying there is a lot of suspicious stuff that's going on here. I don't really understand what's going on. However, I think that Paul Pelosi has some issues. Don't get me wrong. I think he's got some problems. He comes to the door and he opens the door. He's got a drink in his hand. He opens the door with his left hand. He backs up and he picks up his drink off of the little side table that's there in the foyer. He's got his hand on a hammer that apparently this guy who broke in used to break into the house. He's got his hand on the hammer. The police are standing there and they're shining a light on both of them. They're not coming in to do anything. This guy's got a hammer is a deadly weapon, by the way. If you come at someone, if someone comes at you with a hammer and you shoot them, guess what? They're using lethal force. Hammer is lethal. If you're not standing there in the middle of a construction zone, you're holding a hammer. If you're standing in somebody's room in the middle of the night who has called you, by the way, we might just get into this whole thing again maybe later in this week. I want to play the 911 dispatcher audio is horrendous. She should be fired. She about hung up on the guy a couple times. Well, you know, there's somebody here in my home, and, well, he says he's a friend, but I don't know who he is, and, well, I don't want to hang up, and, well, do you need help? Well, you know, no, don't come over. I don't need fire or police right now. Okay, well, then give us a call back if you need something. Well, no, you know, it's just ridiculous. It's this lady is like, he's trying to help this lady understand, hey, there's somebody in my home here. If this was a woman calling, if a woman just called and said, no, I don't need you to go away. No, I'm going to hang up now. Got to go. And they would be at your door in minutes. Oh, we have a domestic abuse situation. But this lady's like, she has no clue. She's totally clueless about the situation that's going on right now. Now, maybe she gets a lot of calls from drunk people all night long, and it's all crazy, and she just never knows what's going to happen next. She just thinks this guy's nuts. He's drunken calling or whatever. But just looking at it on its face, if I was a fresh, you know, guy in training, and I just I would go, just a regular guy answering the phone here. I would go, hey, are you okay? Oh, yeah, I'm fine. I can't hang up right now, but I guess I gotta go because he wants me to hang up. Okay, I'll be right over with my gun. Sounds like a stressed out situation to me. So the cops come to the door because it was a suspicious call. They're asking, and they're standing back from the door. They back up from the door. Paul Pelosi still got a hold of the hammer. Now he's an old guy. The other guy's younger. Kind of a street liver. He lives on the street. He's got the hammer by two hands, and Pelosi's only got the hammer by one hand. Now, the question is, why does he have a drink in the other hand? It's the middle of the night. He supposedly woke up from bed. There is some weird stuff there going on. I mean, I'm not going to, you know, maybe the guy lives kind of a weird life or whatever. I don't know. Maybe it's just a night owl or something. I don't know. But, well, you know, what all went on between the time that he broke in and the time that the cops got there? Or they made the phone call. Just very strange things. However, first of all, here's the problem. And again, this gets back to the hypocrisy on the left. Right away, what did the leftists say? What did Nancy Pelosi say? What did everybody in the news say on the left, on the legacy media, MSNBC and CNN, all jumped on this idea that some radical person who was inflamed, if you want to call it that, because they set the fire, they're the arsonist, got this guy all upset. He's a right-wing Trump supporter who broke in and was going to kill Nancy. Where's Nancy? But that's exactly what they said when they broke into on January 6th. It's the same words they used. Come to find out, this guy is as left can be. He is as woke can be, lives in a nudist colony, is a total leftist. Probably mad that Nancy doesn't like the squad. He's mad at her all. He's a deranged individual. He's a mess. It's not his politics that are the problem. The problem is he's a mess. This guy is deranged. He has a mental problem. Whether he's on the right or the left doesn't matter. This guy's got a problem. And to attach him to a political party is probably the wrong way to go down this road. To think that he was attacking them at all or trying to break in to hurt Nancy because he's a right-wing Trumpster, that's where they went right away with this whole thing. Well, come to find out, oh, he's not. Okay, so there's quiet about it. Quiet. This is like the Unabomber. The Unabomber was suspected to be some radical right-wing alt-right guy. Come to find out, he had Al Gore's book in his house. He was a big Al Gore fan. He was as leftist could be. He was a left-wing nut. That's the way Rush Limbaugh used to talk about him. He said, this guy is a left-wing nut. But they wouldn't call it that. The media would not call him a left-winger. Same thing with this guy. And all of a sudden, it drops off the radar, and they don't want to talk about his motives anymore. But they were real quick to come out with that initially, which in my opinion is just again. They want to point the finger at Jim Jordan and say he's a hypocrite because he doesn't come after Trump the way he comes after Biden. The whole situation, the whole case with Trump is totally different. It is a totally different issue. Now, you can say, you can argue one way or the other whether Trump should have given back the documents or should let the, you know, FBI go through the documents, whatever, whatever. I don't think the FBI should have any part in going through documents like that. Who are they? When senators and congressmen have to go into a skiff behind several locked, and this gets into the whole skiff thing. We're going to talk about skiff tomorrow because I'm way over time on this show, but we're going to talk about the whole skiff thing tomorrow and probably talk about hopefully play the audio from the 911 caller, talk about that possibly tomorrow or the next day if I'm not traveling. If I'm on the road driving, it's going to be a little hard to do the show. I still might record the show because it's just it's a way to kill the time. But while I'm driving, it should be interesting. There are all kinds of like cars honking at me and all kinds of stuff. Get off the road. Why are you driving so slow? It's because I'm an old man. Doing a show. I'm doing a show here. So I digress. So thank you for listening this morning. It's been an interesting weekend. I'm sure we'll have an interesting week ahead of us as we go into this election season. It's just going to get more and more intense, but it's going to be more interesting. Lots of interesting things happening. So we'll see how it all pans out. Mike Pompeo wants to run for president. Yeah. John Bolton. That's funny. Yeah. Yeah, all kinds of stuff. Interesting stuff happening. So we'll just go on with this. See what happens. Once again, folks, pray for our nation. Pray for each other. Pray for the church. Pray for the leaders in this nation. And we will move forward together. Defend our republic. And our democracy and our constitution. Oh, that brings up Ilona. Oh, there are so many other things I want to talk about. God bless everybody.